Okay, thank you, Kane. 806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Dr. Bill says dense fog advisory in effect for both Mobile and Baldwin County throughout the morning. In some areas, he thinks maybe it doesn't even burn off all day. We'll get more from him coming up in just a little bit. The severe weather came through in Washington and Clark County last night. Eventually, that front will get down to our coastal counties. Looks like that's going to be Wednesday night into Thursday morning. But more from Doc coming up in just a little bit. 68 degrees now at our studios. And mentioned the story there at the end of the hour has a lot of people talking. This guy who was offering $25,000 for whoever finds him a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And we look at the pictures. He's a decent-looking guy in shape. He's got a picture, he's out at a park with a dog, you know, not a puppy, which is, you know, like kryptonite usually, but he's got a dog and he's a successful entrepreneur. And you point out, and he doesn't have a girlfriend already. Mm-hmm. 47-year-old guy.
Something's wrong.
You know, also, Supermom on the text line said, old Jeff G has an obnoxious personality if this is his means of finding a girlfriend. So by his means, so see, a woman's perspective, I like this, by his means of trying to find the girlfriend, she's already made the decision what the personality is. She may be ahead of all of us on that.
Yeah. I mean, this just points to an underlying issue. If he's...
You just don't know which one it is.
You just don't know what the issue is. And I imagine he's going to have a pretty long line of suitors if there's this kind of money in play. Now, how many dates he actually makes it on with whoever... I wonder if there's any preconditions, like you have to at least go on 5 dates with him to receive the money.
I'll have to go further into the website to see that. Then it ends up being like that... Oh, that show was back. The missus was watching that Bachelorette thing.
Oh,
I have to leave that part of the house. I can't.
It's tough.
And she's like, well, Sean, but this person is from Tuscaloosa, and this person, other person's from, you know, somewhere in Alabama or went to... I'm like, I don't care. It's not enough of that for me to care.
I tried the Bachelor one season, a half season.
Oh, yeah,
with
Bachelor. Bachelor.
I think they switch them up. Bachelor now.
Right.
And I tried one season with my wife, and thankfully a few episodes in, she goes, you know, I can't stand this. And I went, oh, they got... You would never say that.
Yeah, well, you know what? Give yourself a couple more decades. You know, just go preemptively say, I'm not watching that. Derek says, I got $20 for anybody that finds me. Anybody that finds me a girlfriend that doesn't cost me my living room furniture again. There you go, Derek. These are good things. All right. Let's get into the conversation here with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also, the author of the Mad Jones Trilogy, available on Amazon right now. And if you're Amazon Prime, you can probably have that delivered in time for Valentine's Day, Quinn.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely order Mad Jones Heretic. But I've got to say that I think you're making up this whole thing about the guy offering $25,000. I think you are a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Pony soldier, yes.
A lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Right. And, when I hear that, first of all, I think if you say it, you should say it, hey, see, you're a lying dong-faced pony soldier, see? You know, more of a 20s or 30s sound, even though another gaffe and mistimed quote from Joe Biden, he said, I guess they're saying, came from a John Wayne movie and a character in it. Now somebody's saying that movie doesn't exist. Are we moving into dog-faced pony soldier gate here over this quote?
We might be. Look, for years and years, every once in a while, it is impossible to tell what has come out of Joe Biden's mouth and how, you know, where it came from in his brain. But he is on the ropes. I don't think he has much chance of winning the nomination. And I really think the man should get out of the race, but I don't know. He seems desperate to me.
Now, I did hear that Biden, he's printed his directions from MapQuest for where he's heading next here. But there might not be a next, Quinn, with the Iowa, New Hampshire, the caucus, and then the primary. Even though they make up so few of the eventual votes that will decide who the winner of the primary is, this is really the proving ground for so many of these candidates. How many of these candidates do you expect to see drop out after today's primary?
None of the major ones. Maybe people like Michael Bennett of Colorado. Yes, he's still running. Andrew Yang might drop out. Tom Steyer will not drop out because he's been concentrating on South Carolina for a long, long time. But, you know, just those two, really, Bennett and Yang. But who should drop out if he finishes fifth is Joe Biden, because if a front runner finishes fourth and then fifth in the first two contests, that shows amazing weakness, and it shows his combination of verbal gaffes, his age, and the number done on him by the Trump trial, which has made Biden, not Trump, politically vulnerable. All those things have just made him unelectable.
Okay. So I think I felt that when Bloomberg got in, because the way I understood it, Bloomberg was a big financier through different mechanisms for Joe Biden. And when Bloomberg stepped in, that was that big vote of no confidence. You know, if you're not viable enough to take my money and win, I'm going to take my money and try to win.
Right. And, I mean, the amount of money that Bloomberg is spending, I mean, so far either spent or committed, I think it's something like $350 million, and he's just getting started. I mean, this is almost obscene. And, you know, for a 78-year-old to go and try to buy the presidency, I don't know. I don't know why it doesn't turn people off. I mean, clearly he's run enough ads that he's started to get some traction, but do people really want a 78-year-old multi-billionaire who, as mayor of New York, tried to tell them they can't drink sodas? I mean, you know, this guy was the epitome of the nanny state run amok. He should be nowhere near the Oval Office with that much power as president, trying to tell us how to live every minute detail of our lives. No, thank you.
Social media progressives have really turned their attacks onto Bloomberg here over these last few days. Sanders' army especially are saying the exact same thing that you just said. This is just another billionaire trying to buy his way into office. And I read that he could possibly spend $2 billion of his own money on this election. But with him and Klobuchar and Buttigieg, it seems like they're all competing for the moderate vote. Do you think it's really between those three to defeat Sanders now?
Yeah, I mean, I think Liz Warren, let me amend what I said to an earlier question. There is an outside chance that of the major candidates that Liz Warren might drop out if she finishes fourth behind Klobuchar. So that's one more possibility to drop out. If she does drop out, it helps Bernie Sanders immensely. And yeah, you would get Bernie Sanders on the left and the three people, they're not moderates, but they're moderate compared to Sanders, and they would be dividing up the non-crazy left vote, and that would actually benefit Sanders, because if you got three people dividing up one half of the Democratic electorate and only one person on the other half of the Democratic electorate, then that one person on the crazy left side wins a plurality.
Let's talk about what will keep some in, and I want to come back to New Hampshire in a second, but to jump forward, you know, you have a Biden that's waiting on South Carolina, right? I mean, that's what he's banking on.
That's what he's banking on, and the problem is that he's falling there, too, and, I mean, I guess it almost doesn't matter if he loses, and he's sort of embarrassed either way, but if he stays in and then gets trounced in South Carolina and then has to run away from the race with his tail between his legs, somehow it looks worse for his legacy than if he didn't compete and said, oh, well, I could have done well in South Carolina, and I could have made a contest of it, but I decided that, you know, that I would step aside. Somehow I think he maintains more dignity if he gets that after New Hampshire rather than going to South Carolina and then losing.
Yeah, I think about in New Hampshire and having this open primary system. We've seen this before. It's political tact to cross over party lines and vote for the candidate you think would be weakest to run. Like, if you're a Democrat, you vote for the Republican that would be the weakest. If you're a Republican, you vote for the Democrat you think would be the weakest out there. Who do you think Republicans want to run against? Is it Bernie Sanders? Is that who they want to run? Who, if you were strategizing, who would you want to run against?
Oh, man, I think they're all... In fact, I wrote a column saying how incredibly weak all of them are. I think Pete Buttigieg is a joke. I mean, he is a He is a failed mayor of a city half the size of Mobile, Alabama. And he's only, what, 38 years old? He shouldn't be anywhere near sniffing distance of the presidency. Bernie Sanders, I mean, he is so far left. And granted, I know a lot of young people are historically ignorant and they don't understand what socialism is, but this guy, Trump could make mincemeat of him. The only one that I don't think Trump yet knows how to handle is Amy Klobuchar.
Mm-hmm.
And even she has some problems. I mean, she has personal impulse control problems behind the scenes. I mean, she is the single worst, meanest, craziest boss on Capitol Hill. I mean,
what? You have this confirmed?
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, statistically, she has the highest turnover rate of staff of any senator, any of the 100 senators. There have been multiple articles in places like Politico where ex-staffers talk about her throwing staplers at them and big, heavy binders and other office equipment.
Wow.
And I have talked to people who have very good friends that have worked with her, said, one person said, you know, worked for her for 6 months and couldn't take it anymore and had to have 3 months to decompress because she was so horrible. So behind the scenes, this lady is a holy terror. But in public, she presents herself well, and she's definitely less extreme liberal than the others, and she actually does have a legislative record. And so Trump is going to have a harder time with her than with the others, but that doesn't mean that she's a strong candidate either.
We saw Buttigieg. I guess it was a bit of a surprise how well he did in the Iowa caucus, basically tying Bernie Sanders once the final result came out. I think he won by 0.1 percentage points, and it looks like he'll do well here in New Hampshire today. After this, when we get into Nevada and we get into South Carolina, do you expect his numbers to drop?
Oh, yeah. Look, his polling, this is amazing. His polling numbers nationally among African Americans in the last 2 weeks have risen from 0% to 4%. So they have risen all the way to 4%, which is pathetic among African American voters. Well, African American voters make up nearly a majority of all Democratic voters throughout the South. If he can't appeal to Democratic voters, and his record is not a good one there, I could detail it, but it's not a good one for African Americans. If he can't appeal to African Americans, he has nowhere to go in terms of getting votes in the South, especially with others still in the race. So, I think he's sort of a flash in the pan. I also think he deserves to be a flash in the pan. His record as mayor is not very good, and I don't know why people like him anyway. There's nothing of substance that comes out of his mouth.
I want to talk about, and we'll get into the military service thing later on this week, because Dalton found an interesting story or a take on the military service for Mayor Pete. But let's look at the other factor here. That is one that's not showing up on the stage for the debates because she's not polling at the numbers, but she is enemy number one of Hillary Clinton, who said basically she's a Russian asset. But there's discussion, would she run as a third-party candidate? She had said no before, but now there's more rumblings of that. Does Tulsi Gabbard come in as a third-party candidate or something and split yet more votes away from the Democrats?
I don't know.
I think she's one of their more viable candidates. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at somebody who's closer to moderate, she fits that definition.
Well, she's all over the map. She's closer to moderate on some things. Mm-hmm. She's crazy left on other things. She's a big, almost a fan of Bashar Assad in Syria.
That's BS. I mean, look through the stuff. She's not a fan. I mean, if you read the research, now she is for bringing troops home. You know, she lines up with President Trump on that.
She has actually said things about him that are defending him. Not a fan, but a defender. Anyway, could she? I don't know. I do think that if a third party candidate or ticket managed to just somehow thread the needle, or thread multiple needles at once, that they could be a significant factor, but you know, they would have to thread five or six needles at once, and that's a hard thing to do.
All All right. We'll watch it and, of course, see what the results out of the first primary in the nation look like, other than, what is it? I'm going to say this right. Dixville Notch or whatever. Dixon's Notch, whatever it is, up in New Hampshire. See the rest of the state and talk about it next week. Quinn, remind folks, if they want to read what you're working on, what you're writing, where do they go?
They go to, they can subscribe for free at QuinnHillier.com, but if they that gets updated about once a week, daily, go to just type Quinn at Google, Quinn Hillier, Washington Examiner, and you'll see almost everything I write these days right there. And also do go to Amazon.com and order my books, Matt Jones, Heretic.
All right, very good, Quinn. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
All right, coming right back, we'll grab your calls at 343-0106. Maybe even make some love connections. See this text. Listen, gentlemen, listen. I'm a spry 67-year-old who takes no meds. I own my own home, and I can't find a guy who doesn't abuse alcohol. So if you can thread that needle, spry 67-year-old, takes no meds, owns her own home. If she's going to give her number out, she may have her phone ringing quite a bit here.
All right. All right. First FM Talk 106.5 Bachelorette coming up.
All right. Thank you, Kane. 827 FM Talk 106.5. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, and love to hear from you at 343-0106. 343-0106. Our dating hotline has got cracking here. So we had the text from the unnamed texter. I give her the nickname 67-year-old spry woman, right? Who said she's 67, spry, takes no meds, owns her own home, and can't find a guy who doesn't abuse alcohol. Mm-hmm. Well, as the matchmaker goes, Dan says, I'm 67.
Oh, so far so good.
I'm old, 67 years old. Balding.
Okay.
Well,
it's not uncommon.
No. 7 heart medications, varicose veins, and 20 pounds overweight. If any of that turns you on, give me a call. So there you go.
Ladies.
So ladies, be prepared. We're working our Valentine's Day magic here a couple days out from the actual
we might need to hold a dating event if this keeps up. We'll have to have one of those speed dating rounds.
Or not speeding, just like speed limit dating or something
speed
like
limit
that.
Dating.
We'll do something to that effect. Try to set that up. All right. And we'll get a little bit more here on the poll question. If you answered in our poll question, let me tell you, this is stemming off of an actual scientific poll done by Alabama Daily News and Mason-Dixon Polling. We're asking in our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, do you approve or disapprove of Governor Kay Ivey's performance as governor? Because in looking at this polling data that came out, Governor Ivey, 64% approval around the state. Mm-hmm. And that's Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody. 64% approval. And I just questioned that if, and even in the polling data, they broke down the state into different segments, but they said South Alabama. But I found out from talking with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News that the South Alabama is not only us in Southwest Alabama, but it goes all through the Wiregrass and all there. So we can't say there's not a part of this that's just Mobile and Baldwin County, but the South Alabama approval rate was 69%. 69% approve of Governor Ivey's performance. And I just thought that seemed a little higher than from what I hear from y'all on the telephone. So we're doing our own unscientific poll on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. Do you approve or disapprove of Governor Kay Ivey's performance as governor? You can approve, disapprove, or be undecided.
Yeah, and looking at Morning Consult, who kind of keeps a running tally on the approval ratings for governors, right now Mark Gordon from Wyoming, he's at 69%, the most popular governor in America, according to Morning Consult. Their last polling on Ivey had her at 58%, the 10th most popular governor. So this would put her up at the number 5 spot.
There you go. She's moving up in the rankings.
That's right.
Although we'll see how y'all score it on the website. We'll be right back.
FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
So we got some more parades coming up later this week in Mobile, and a great chance to check out the Mardi Gras trucks from McConnell Automotive.
That's right. The first parade we're going to be pulling comes the polka dots Tuesday night. I'm going to probably be sitting in that number one truck, that big black diesel that's going to be pulling the number one float. And it is gorgeous. We got them all stickered up. Y'all stop by the dealership and see them. Got great discounts on them. Also have great discounts on our used cars. Certified gives you an extra year and up to 12 on the warranty. What else we got? We got all kind of stuff going on here.
Yeah, also got a great...
They're online trying to buy a few cars and... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you came up with exactly what I was going to say. The website, McConnellAutomotive.com. Great pictures of the inside, the exterior of the vehicle, anything you could want.
That's right. We got Spin Car doing that, and it's, man, you can spin it around 360. It looks mm-hmm. gorgeous.
All right.
So just come check us out.
Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 837. Phone lines are open at 343-0106. We got a choice here. Well, we get to choose your own adventure, although we're going to probably get to all these stories. I want to talk a little coronavirus here because now a new critter in the mix, the pangolin, is in the mix. Kind of cool-looking critters.
I kept thinking they were saying penguin, and I'm glad it's not the penguin.
No, it's not a penguin. It's okay. A pangolin. So we talk about that. Talking about the percentage. I mean, it's still obviously a pandemic thing, but I just want to make sure people know the facts that not everybody gets coronavirus is dying. I mean, and you see it's not one world. You see them dragging the people off that are infected in China and taking them away. It's where you don't get to make your own decisions, be your own advocate. The government decides for you. I would say that it's probably a more efficient way of dealing with a pandemic, but it's not one that preserves any sort of liberty. So there's that. Also, I want to get into some more polling, what we're doing with our polling, and also a Senate poll that is out here. We can get to that in just a couple minutes. So we'll do that. And are we missing anything on the list of things people want to talk about? I think we got – I still get questions, last night about the electric scooters, but I think we're good. Oh, I'll tell you what it was. I got a question last night at the Cub Scout meeting.
Okay.
And I was – by the way, we're doing birdhouses.
How'd that go?
We finished putting together birdhouses, they got to use stain to stain the birdhouses. And smartly, the den leader had told us to have them wearing clothes that could get dirty.
The ratty clothes.
The children might as well just have rolled in the stain and then rolled on the birdhouses before. But no, I got a question last night, what we were talking about yesterday about the golf carts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think we do need to clarify that story. If you have a golf cart, the way I understand it, and somebody from the city may correct me on this, but the way I understand it and what I've read is if you have a golf cart that is a licensed golf cart, right? And we talk about the folks at Cart Doctor all mm-hmm. the time. These are the people that can negotiate and tell you what is, negotiate the rules and the laws of this and tell you, okay, this is a street legal, this is not. There's a real definition to that. And if you call Cart Doctor, they can help you with that. But if you have a licensed legal cart, street legal cart, then what we were talking about yesterday doesn't affect you.
Okay.
Because essentially it can go the same places as a car.
Right.
It is the people that have non-street legal golf carts, but I guess they paid some fee thinking they'd be able to use the golf carts in downtown during the event. And that's what the big battle royale between those carts and the electric scooters.
Okay.
That
makes more sense, because the way I was reading it was that these people paid $25 for their permit and then no golf carts were allowed. So it sounds like
if you have a street legal, because they can't stop. I mean, you could drive down there, I guess, in a street legal car, because just that then it becomes electric vehicle.
Right. Okay.
So that question came up last night. Let me get this polling information out. This is red hot. This is like use the tongs to hold the baked potato hot information coming out here on the Senate race. And this was just popped up on Twitter. And our buddy Jeff Poor, who will join us tomorrow to talk about this, put it up over at Breitbart.com. Says, poll, Alabama U.S. Senate race tightens, shows a three-way race for GOP nod. So, okay, we know the three people in it, right? Mm-hmm. This is going to be Sessions, this is going to be Burns, it's going to be Tuberville. What order is it going to be in, and what percentage? Here you go. This poll was conducted by Harper Polling on February 8th and 9th. So Saturday and Sunday.
That's right? Fresh.
8th and 9th of 609 likely Alabama Republican primary voters showed ballot test results with former U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions coming in with 31%. Okay, so not the 50%, 31%, followed by Bradley Byrne with 26%. What a huge gain.
Wow.
For Bradley Byrne. Sessions, 31%, Bradley Byrne, 26%, and former Auburn head football coach Tommy Tuberville at 24%. Margin of error, 3.97%. So still those between Byrne and Tuberville, it is within the margin of error. The results, when compared to the internal polling conducted by the Byrne campaign in December, show movement in the race. According to a memo by Byrne campaign advisor Logan Dobson, the former polling director for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, Byrne trailed Sessions by 20 points and Tuberville by 13 points. And look at the makeup that you're seeing there. A quote from this from Logan Dobson says, with 3 weeks to go into Election Day, all the momentum is behind Bradley because voters know he is the only person in this race with a record of fighting for President Trump and our Alabama values. Byrne campaign manager Seth Morrow said to Yellowhammer News, as we continue to show Bradley's pro-Trump conservative record against the positions of the other candidates, we are confident that Bradley will be the Republican nominee and ultimately defeat Doug Jones. He continued to say, Alabama deserves a proven conservative, not someone who talks out of both sides of their mouth, and someone who lets Alabama down when it mattered most, end quote. So, but I think, yeah, there's some politic in there, but the numbers are the numbers here in this late, and polls are polls. Listen, you start waiting for a plurality of polls, but this one is the freshest information we have, and it's showing Jeff Sessions, 31%, Bradley Byrne, 26%, Tommy Tuberville, 24%.
That's a pretty major change from some of the polls we saw recently before this most recent poll came out. I think the last one we saw, if I remember correctly, Sessions was polling at around 40% of the vote, and then you had Tuberville actually ahead of Byrne in that last one. And we were wondering, with the with President Trump being acquitted in the impeachment vote, and then after that, during his impeachment press conference, mentioning Bradley Byrne by name and thanking him.
Remember, I said that was a big deal.
Yeah, and we saw Congressman Byrne use that pretty much immediately in his advertising following that, which is only the smart move to make right there. We were wondering whether that would weigh in, and with this poll being taken over the weekend, it looks like it did nothing but help.
It's a big jump. Yeah. That's a big jump. We'll see if further polls, you know, see if this is outlier or further polls. But if you're looking at just this one poll and you're part of the Bradley Byrne campaign, you have to be very happy with that coming out. That's big information for your campaign.
And this also points to Session not running away with the nomination, which was kind of looking maybe possible, but not really.
Would he get 50%+, right, and avoid a runoff? But we're talking about if another poll comes out and mirrors this somewhat, then I'll say there's no way to avoid the runoff. I mean, the easy thing for me to sit here and say is there's going to be a runoff, because that's what I feel is going to happen. But there could be some piece of information we don't yet know in 3 weeks. I've seen stranger things happen. But right now, I don't know how Jeff Sessions makes up. I don't know where he gets the votes from to get him over 50%, with Byrne and Tuberville holding 26% and 24% respectively.
And any chance any of the other candidates make a late push to be alongside Byrne and Tuberville in this runoff race, or to potentially make it into the runoff?
Let me think deeply on this. So if Adair or Mooney or Roy Moore would... No, I don't think so. So, but you can disagree. 343-0106. And when we come back, they're saying not only are they possibly, or looks like a host for the coronavirus, pangolins, not penguins, Dalton, pangolins. Pangolins are the most trafficked mammals on the planet.
What?
The most trafficked mammals on the planet.
How come I've never heard of them?
Because you obviously hadn't spent enough time watching Animal Planet. The kids and I know the pangolin, but I didn't know it was a coronavirus host. I mean, we'll talk about this when we get back. All right, coming right back. 8:46. This is FM Talk 106.5. 850 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Morning. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. Phone lines 343-0106. Also works for a text. Segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. Think about this. How much money are you paying on interest? You know, just interest on your credit cards every month. It's too much. Why not consolidate your credit cards into just one payment at a lower fixed rate and start saving money? It's easy with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates are as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. Now, let's compare that to the national average that is over 20% APR. You get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. And just for y'all, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more money. The only way to get the discount, though, is to go to their website, lightstream.com/Sullivan, my last name. So the website, lightstream.com/Sullivan, S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, we'll get to the phones, but I want to quickly just a little pangolin talk.
Yeah, please.
A little pangolin talk. So pangolins, they look like they could be a cross between an anteater and an armadillo, kind of. And that's my best attempt at explaining what they look like. But the beauty of Google is you can go see what a pangolin looks like pretty quickly. It says here, New York Times story by James Gorman. It says, in the search for the animal source or sources of the coronavirus epidemic in China, latest candidate is the pangolin, an endangered, scaly, anteating mammal that is imported in huge numbers to Chinese markets for food and medicine. The market, it must be... must be something to be in a Chinese market. Just to, like, it's like going to the zoo and the grocery store at the same time.
I can't imagine. Actually, yeah, I have been in a Chinese market.
I'm jealous. You got
not recently, everyone.
Right, you're not contagious.
No, it's well over a decade.
Okay, the market in pangolins is so large, they are said to be the most trafficked mammals on the planet. All four Asian species are critically endangered, and it is far from clear whether being identified as a viral host would be good or bad for pangolins. It could decrease the trade in the animals or cause a backlash. It is also far from clear whether the pangolin is the animal that passed the new virus to humans. Bats are still thought to be the original host of the virus, but if pangolins are involved in the disease transmission, they could act as an intermediate host. The science is so far is suggestive rather than conclusive, and because the intense interest in the virus, some claims have been made in the public before traditional scientific review process. But there you go, a little bit on the pangolins. And then, can Chinese medicine? Can Chinese medicine or Chinese cultural cuisine be into? They are into stuff that, like, ducks and chickens and pigs and stuff like that that aren't endangered. Mm-hmm. But would it be awesome if Chinese medicine, instead of having to have a rhino horn or a pangolin's rear end or whatever it is, could be just like something from a horse or something from a cow, something that is not endangered?
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. I don't know if it's like a lack of resources or why they, or it's probably history. Like, they've got all of these probably stories passed down generations that are like, pangolins saved my life.
Yeah, but there's the other thing. It's all for, like, the dudes that got some, issues there. I mean, half of this stuff you hear about, maybe somebody who's well-versed in Chinese medicine can correct me, but it seems like half of the things we hear about here in the West are all dealing with dudes who are need a little help.
Yep.
Can we just flood them with the same commercials we have here, for every every supplement or whatever pill the people take,
and
then
they can pangolin.
And leave the endangered critters alone?
You know, I don't want to be the conspiracy theorist here, but why are we just now hearing about pangolins? It seems like maybe the bat lobby is trying to get the heat off of bats a little bit here.
I think pangolins are cool looking. I mean, you see the, if you Google, you'll see the picture. I think they're cool looking. People say, oh, they're scary looking. They're cool looking creatures.
Yeah, and speaking of this, and then we can get off the nasty Chinese food here. But did you see that they confiscated a bunch of dead birds at the Dulles International Airport that were shipped from China? Little bitty baby birds that were like...
didn't even have their feathers really on?
Yeah, dead, and then like freeze-dried or something like
that. That's how you do it. That's how you do a baby bird.
Tried to make them look like cat food.
Well, they are kind of cat food.
And, of course, before the coronavirus came on, big time. Avian flu, a lot of people worry about that. That's why they can't have the birds coming in from China, but they did catch at least this package coming in.
So there you go. So what is wrong with General Tso's chicken? I mean, can we just not, if you just had General Tso's chicken, everything would be good. We'd maybe some green pepper steak.
Mm-hmm. Poo-poo platter.
Poo-poo platter, right? There's no endangered species in the poo-poo platter. There's no virus-carrying critter in that mix, so... All right. Oh, and one more, too. You wanted to, as we were running our side deal here for our matchmaking service.
Yeah.
We have another entrant.
We do have another entrant. And let me, I'm 62 years old. I no longer abuse alcohol. Congratulations. And I have been married for 22 years and counting. Is that an issue? See, he saved that disqualifier for last. I would say being married might be an issue for most women.
Well, see, she's a spry 67-year-old who had texted earlier, so she owns her own home. You know, so whatever happens out there, it's not my business. It's grown-ups behind closed doors. All right, to the phones, and Derek in Fairhope. Hey, Derek.
You know, I have no comment for that last one. You know what? I might talk to her, you know? Who knows? With the way society is going, let's just say she's progressive.
I like her attitude, actually. I don't know who she is, but I like her attitude right off the bat, actually.
You know what I mean? If it doesn't cost me my living room furniture again, we're good. all right, so a couple of things, you know, that you pay attention to, man, on that coronavirus is they're updating and saying that the gestation period could actually be 24 days instead of 14. Also, too, they're scared that it's going from... You know, one form of, you know, where you keep your 3-foot distance from somebody in case they cough or sneeze, that the droplets are actually being aerosoled, meaning that the itty-bitty droplets can be carried with the wind. If you can look online now, you know, and see that China is going through with these massive trucks that are spraying almost like thermofogging, you know, the streets. So that's one thing to be concerned about. And just to reiterate that, they evacuated two Japanese buildings because they're scared it got into ventilation. So,
where'd you get this from? Who published this? Where do I find it?
Actually, I was going to send you a link because it's not hard to find now, man. I'll send you the link. Get with me off air, call me, and I'll give you the link to a page.
Uh-huh.
And this isn't even hard to find. They're expecting, and this is from like a major, you know, health guy, that 2/3 of the world's population is going to catch this.
All right.
That an estimated total of 51 million people are going to die from it. This is not even hidden anymore. So,
all right, we're up against the end of the hour.
I'll show you where it's at.
Okay.
It's not a, you know, it's not a rabbit hole.
All right. Sure. All right. Mike Gallagher's next.